I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and we have a treat today because we know there's some special things going on out in the world. An election, a presidential election, in the most powerful, most important country on the face of the earth, the United States of America, our home, our country. With me today are the gentlemen in the neighborhood. Yes, we got the original crew back together. Now we have Bill, the man of faith, Dallas. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. Can't wait to get started.
Excellent. We have Jim, the contrarian, Giordano. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff.
And unbelievably, have we been trying for months and months. We couldn't figure out where he was. But Jack, rock and roll race car Patterson is here. He was out on a fishing boat, points unknown, looking for, pirate gold or something? What were you doing there, Jack?
Actually, I was looking for fish, which is kind of like the inside joke here on Chasing Justice.
Yes.
I can read about them. I can tell you about them. I can't catch them. But it's good to be here, Joe.
It's fun, right? Right. When my son Alex and I used to go fishing, because we got into the whole bass fishing thing, you know, the sea bass, and we would never catch anything. And Alex would be upset. How can we? I said, Alex, that's why they call it going fishing, not catching fish.
There's correct.
A difference there. So I'm glad to have you all here. It's really wonderful. The world out there right now is a buzz. We have reached the denouement of political activity in the American experience. And people are voting, they're getting ready to vote, they're throwing in their votes early, people voted 3 weeks ago, people are going to go to the booths, they can't go to the booths, they might go to the booths, I don't know. You can't stand in line to vote, but you can stand in line to hand in your vote. Who knows what's going on out there? It's crazy. So I really wanted to spend some time on our historical look here at the beginning of the value of the vote. Why do we vote? Why is it important? How long do we see this as being a potential that maybe sometime we won't vote the way we are now? We have the Electoral College and the reason, et cetera, et cetera. So let's set the record straight. Does anybody here at this table have an understanding of why we use the Electoral College? And I want you to say, whoever gets the most votes wins. Wouldn't that be the most fair thing to do? Whoever gets the most votes wins.
No.
Jim, go ahead.
Now, the Electoral College is something to give geographic diversity to the vote. Otherwise, it would be just California. Well, might as well just have the vote in California. And New York. It's not fair for the smaller states, and there's different interests throughout the country based on geography.
Interesting. Go ahead.
You're absolutely right. And what I find appalling, absolutely appalling, is especially the people that I work with, they don't understand the Electoral College. They don't understand how it works. They believe that their vote doesn't count.
Right.
And if it wasn't for that, their vote wouldn't count.
Well, it's absolutely true.
Wait, Jack, was that the Electoral College?
Electoral College.
Hey, we see we're all learning something here today already. It's interesting. So, Jim, your point, and Bill, Jack, your point together, is that the reality is it goes by population centers. Like, Hillary won the 2016 election in the popular vote. She got 3 million more actual votes than Donald Trump did, but she got them from the hugely populated states. And your point is exactly right. If we just went by popular vote, you would have these urban centers around our country on the East Coast and the West Coast would make the determination for the entire country. So the whole idea is that each state is appointed a number of electors that go and vote, and then we add that up, and you got to get 270 to win. Very interesting. Historically, that has worked, because imagine being one of those little states. You would have no voice in anything.
Exactly.
So here's an idea I thought. Bill, what do you think of this? People talk about how do you make it more fair? Make it more fair. Can you make the Electoral College or the Electoral College, or the Fishing College, you can make it more fair. What if you thought if we did this? Popular vote in each state gets the electors for that state completely, and there's only two electors in each state. Whoever gets 51 electoral votes wins the election. This way, every state has exactly the same amount of power as every other state. Would that be fair?
I think it would be fair. However, knowing the Democrats, it'll never get done. It'll never, because it's fair. They don't like fair. They only like what allows them to creep in there and change a little bit here and change a little bit there, and it'll never happen.
Interesting.
Well, the electors are based on population. So your idea, which I'd have no problem with because it gives the Republicans an advantage monumentally, it wouldn't be fair for the big population centers. So there has to be some kind of proportion element.
Okay, so thank you, Jim. That's exactly the point, and that's why the system we have now, created by our forefathers, the founders, who realized, sure, if California has more people than Nevada or Minnesota, then they should have a little more power, but it should not be overwhelming to overwhelm the rest of the country. So I'm glad we covered that up. So for anyone out there who really was trying to understand how that all works and why it's important, there you go. Now, Bill, when you first voted, when you first went out and were voting and you were a young person, did you start voting early or did you wait until later in life to vote? Did you take the vote serious when you were young?
I not only did not take the vote seriously, I complained about the result when it came about. And somebody said to me, if you don't vote, you've got nothing to complain about. And I lived by that ever since then.
Did you vote for McGovern?
If you don't, what?
Did you vote for McGovern?
McGovern. I voted for Dwight.
Dwight Lincoln? Lincoln's brother ran at some point?
No, but that made so much sense to me back then, and I was newly out of the Navy, so I wanted to be, patriotic and do my duty, but I had other things to do.
Other things going on. So, Jack, let me ask you. We keep talking about, if the youth vote ever comes out, they are going to take over the poll. I mean, if the youth ever come out in mass, they will determine how the next election is going to go, or in a theoretical, any election will go. Do you see that happening? Do you see these young people coming out this time, last time?
I honestly think that this election has electrified the youth base for the Democratic Party, especially. Just watching different things and getting insight into different things in the young people's mind, they basically have been indoctrinated into anything, anybody except Trump, which is sad because they won't open their minds and look at both sides reasonably. It's just sad, but I do believe in this election you're going to find more of the youth becoming involved, more of the college age becoming involved in the election process. I believe if the next election is not so charged, let's say, you won't see as much involvement with the youth because they'll back off and say, well, what's the difference? But they know now that there is a big difference and this is a choice that's going to bring forth a better day in our country or quite possibly destroy it, in my view.
I think that it depends on who is our president, whether they come out in force again or back off.
If you promise to pay off my student loan, you're going to get my vote as a 19-year-old, 18-year-old person in this country. They're buying that. They're buying Biden's commercials on television, which basically revert to me to old-time 50s politics, which there's going to be a chicken in every pot and a Cadillac in every garage. That's what I hear every time I hear him speak.
Well, the reality about that, Jack, though, talking to a lot of young people, and I do, I go out there and I speak to a lot of these young people. I have young people in my house and we discuss these things. They honestly, not all of them, we have diverse opinions here in our home, and one side who really believes that you can have free college, you can have free everything, because there are some people that have so much money, like Jim, that if we took all of Jim's money, the three of us could live a great lifestyle. Why should the three of us live, on cheap light beer when Jim is drinking high-end bourbon? If we just took some of his money, he'd still be good, but then we'd all be good. They actually believe that that's an okay thing to do.
But if you change the wording of different things that they speak about, if you change Biden's speeches from let's tax the rich, let's really make them pay their fair share, let's take the word rich away and let's instead use the words job creators. Let's take money from the job creators. Let's take money from the business owners that employ people in this country. Let's take more money from them, and we'll urge General Motors and we'll urge Ford and all these other manufacturers throughout the country to begin the process pre-Trump, which was to move all of their production to South America, mainly GM, Ford, and Chrysler.
And that was NAFTA. That was the NAFTA
And
deal.
They moved everything out of this country. Now they're moving everything back, and under the Biden administration, they will run like rats from a sinking ship.
Out of here.
Back to China, because
of course
they took all that money from China.
Using South America, because the automobile manufacturers that I know, everything's coming out of Brazil for General Motors.
And that's because they have a
pre-Trump.
They have a labor market there. They have people, plenty of people that can learn how to do it, and it's cheap. So you can build your car, your vehicle very cheaply there, ship it here, and sell it for the American price, and you make a huge profit. Mm-hmm. Jim, when you think of our election process, where else in the world do you know of where people would vote against their own interests? What is that all about? Whether it's these young people, middle-aged people, people our age, that are talking about, we have to change things, and because we don't like Trump's tweets, because we're offended by his personality, we're going to vote against our own interests. We're saying to man, it's for the first time I can ever remember, somebody says, I'm going to raise your taxes. I'm going to regulate you. I'm going to return everything that this Trump guy did. I'm going to let all these illegal people into the country that you're all going to pay for. And people in droves are going, you know, I want that because I don't like what this guy tweets. How does that work?
That's the ignorance of the American people, the global elite, the deep state, the cabal, however you want to put it. They have had a concerted effort for the last 50 years to destroy the school systems, and I'm talking from grammar school right up through college, and I'm talking about the Ivy Leagues as well. They dumbed down the entire population. Civics is not given. People don't even know how the government even works, and they're voting in the election. Everybody says, go out. Everybody should have a vote. In my opinion, I know you can't do it. I think that you have to have a pass a test first, which I think is ridiculous, because who's going to administer the test?
And that's why he's a contrarian.
But it's stupid. Some people should not vote.
Well, actually, back in the day, and I'm talking way back in the day, you had to be a property owner to be able to vote. You had to have a stake. Like, you can't vote on raising taxes if you don't pay taxes. You don't get to make law on how someone runs a business if you don't own a business, right?
Yes, that was what they did. The left would say that's because they were racist. But you want to know something? Everybody in the country, other than the African-American slaves, they were either property owners or not. But the property owners are the ones who developed the Constitution. And yes, okay, in today's world, it is definitely archaic, but there was an interest there, and you're absolutely right. If you don't have a stake in the country, if you don't have a stake in raising taxes, well, you're going to vote. The people will vote for the gimmies,
right?
And that's what we're getting.
Jim's bringing up some very good points, and I agree with him. I also believe it's the indoctrination, not only, as Jimmy said, through our schools and colleges. We have problems right here with kids bringing Trump flags to school and being thrown out. They have no freedom of speech. They have no freedom of expression. But it's also the indoctrination of the media.
Oh, absolutely.
And all of the media, including everything online. It's coming through their phones. It's coming through their computers. And it's indoctrinating them into this liberal.
And those are
liberal.
Perfect points that we're going to hit on segment two, on the where we are now. But I think you're hitting on all them. Bill, and I tease you a lot about, you know, being the oldest member of our group. But the reality is you have the most experience of all of us. You were here doing things when we were just younger. You know, we weren't involved yet. When you see our country voting, what was it like when people weren't at each other's throat? And I don't mean 10 years ago, because there was problems then. What was it like when really you chose one side or another, you won or you lost, and then you made a better case the next time to try and win? What was that like?
It was a lot of apathy. getting out and voting wasn't as exciting and stuff. The only, what really made it exciting is Kennedy. When Kennedy was running for office, he energized the youth. He energized the common guy, and he just electrified things.
Now, does that go to Jack's point that now today, and again, we're going to get into that in the next segment more, but the Kennedy-Nixon election was the first one that was really televised.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time we actually saw the candidates on TV. They came into our living room. Just like the Vietnam War is the first time we actually saw war in our living room, and that's what turned people off to it.
But the difference was back then is when you turned on the television, when you turned on the radio, you received the news and made your own opinion. Now the opinion is being made and fed to you.
Right. Back then, Walter Cronkite and Edward R. Murrow and all those other icons of the news industry, they sat there, they never smiled, they always read the news. These are facts. This is not my opinion. This is the fact. And you believe that. You trusted the news back then. And how it derailed somehow is beyond me.
Which is it's an amazing occurrence. And when I listened to you, when you said this group, this cabal, this people in the background, whoever, they want to destroy the education system to dumb them down. What is that the purpose? And what's the purpose of dumbing down your population? Why would you do that? Why would they want that?
It's not an American cabal. It's a global cabal. And I don't know if you've read Cardinal Vigano's open letter. Mm-hmm. He just had another one that came out. And I tell you, it's eye-opening. And it's the same thing that that guy QAnon has been talking about. And I'm beginning to think that there's more truth to this conspiracy. Of course, they're labeled a conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. Than there is fiction to it. Mm-hmm. But getting back to what Jack said, there's one more difference. Back in the 50s and 60s, the Democratic and Republican parties, they were still working for the best for America. Different avenues to get there. Now I have one choice. Whether I like the guy or not, I am not voting for a Democrat. I can't, because I don't see the Democratic Party working for the best interests of the American people at all.
Have you heard in all of this advertising, have you ever heard our friends on the left talking about enhancing individual rights, enhancing your freedoms, enhancing lower taxes, empowering you as an individual to do better? I think that's what you're talking about. When you hear the two platforms, and I've said this with you guys and in my writing for a long time, back in the day, we were all on the same river going in the same direction. We just had different boats and different ways to get there. Now, we're not only going a different direction, we're in two different vehicles on two different rivers.
Look at what the Democrats really want. They want to get the illegals, the power to vote. They want to get them driver's licenses. They want to get them registered in the census. Once they do that, then they've got another whole civilization almost, because of the amount of people that's in this country illegally. And what you're going to see is an overwhelming gifting to these.
Right. So what you're saying is they're bringing these people, they want them to come here.
Yes.
And they're promising them stuff to get them here so that they become a voting block that can't be overcome, which goes to Jack's point earlier, that it's going to overwhelm our system and it's going to disappear.
Oh, it has overwhelmed our system.
It has. You're right.
They're trying to destroy the middle class. The backbone of any democracy, republic, is the middle class.
Agreed.
You get rid of the middle class, then all you do is have the elite left, and that's what they want.
In closing on the subject of the past, I miss the fact that back in the day, my opinion was respected. Nobody knocked a hat off my head. Nobody blocked access to information. Nobody blocked access to rallies. There was respect in this country. If you liked Nixon or if you liked Kennedy, you were allowed to like him. And after I discussed with you why I didn't like your candidate and why you didn't like mine, we still shook hands and went about our way. We didn't burn cities. We didn't turn over buses.
Jack, that's an excellent point. Gentlemen, very good session. We'll be back in a minute, ladies and gentlemen, with round two. Ding, ding, ding. Here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
What if a new treatment backed by 17,000 scientific articles was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance? What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? Well, the good news is you don't have to pay anything, because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, CELL.com/sleep.
Welcome back, everybody, to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangar, and I have the gentleman in the neighborhood here, and I say that loosely. We have Jack Rock and Roll Race Car Patterson here. We haven't seen him in a long time, but we're very glad he's here. Jack, welcome back. Bill, the man of faith. Bill, how are you?
I'm great, Joe. I'm glad to be here.
Jim Giordano, our friend, our pal, the guy we know will start an argument with anyone for any reason at any time. So listen, we've talked about the past with elections. We had a little bit of that, and I think we covered some interesting areas of where we were. Jack, you closed us out there, and I thought you did it really beautifully. You kind of brought all the ends together there of we used to be able to disagree, and we used to be able to argue, and we can't do that today, can we?
We used to have a respectful America. Now we're disrespecting each other within our own country, within our own hive. We're tearing each other apart.
Within our own party.
With our own party.
Ah.
Absolutely with our own party. And it's so sad to think that in America, I cannot go out and express my opinion without being assaulted.
Well, and that's absolutely, you assaulted now. So, Jim, I wanted to bring something up because you were saying there's the cabal and this globalist thing. When we see the never Trumpers in the Republican Party, the people who, this guy is doing everything they ever begged and said that they would do if you had a conservative president. You got a guy actually doing conservative things like no one has seen ever since Ronald Reagan and maybe even ever. And they're still against this guy. They're still working against him. What has he upset their apple cart so much that they'd rather have power than they don't care really about the bigger America? Is that what this is?
I think so. I think that, first of all, they're just as dirty as I say the Democrats are, and that half the Republican Party, they're all on the take. They all love the corruption, but they announce, they talk about conservative values, but they never vote that way. You know, we did have a Republican Congress and a Republican president, and all the never Trumpers came out, and they were on the Republican Party, and they didn't get anything done with our agenda. Nothing, because...
How many times did they tell us, well, we have to have the House, and we gave them the House. We have to have the Senate. We gave it, and they did nothing.
Exactly.
Absolutely nothing, because then it was, how many times did they vote to get rid of Obamacare? We're going to get rid of it. It's the worst thing in the world. It's terrible. And then they actually had the real vote when they had a president who will sign it and get rid of it. And then they voted no.
Great point.
How is that happens? And this is part of the problem that when you say assaulted, I'm assaulted intellectually when I see that happen. They assault me intellectually. If I put a Trump flag on my car or a Biden flag,
you'll lose your windows.
My Biden flag will be fine. My Trump flag will cause me to lose my windows, my tires. They'll spray paint your house. So my question is, do you see there is this, in the background, the shy Trump voter? Do you see that out there? Is it really there? Someone who just doesn't want to stay there for Trump, but they're going to push that button.
Let's just say, as far as your intelligence is being assaulted, okay, it's being assaulted by the fact that the people within the Republican Party that have now turned their back on President Trump are people who are just going with the populace. If the people of America, if they perceive that the majority of the people of America would like them to like Biden or Clinton or whoever it may be, they will do whatever they have to do to remain in power. I think they're power drunk, they're power happy with the fact that they can become career politicians. And whatever the populace tells them to do, they'll do.
What is that power, Jeff? What is the power? What do I get power if I get into that club? I'm elected, and now I'm a congressman or a senator. What is that power? What do I get?
The corruption that goes along with, just like Biden's on the take, you know, half these politicians, maybe even more, they're on the take. They're taking money from Big Pharma. They're taking money from foreign sources.
Oil.
And we just don't know about it. So why do you think they want to get rid of Trump?
Because you also,
Trump's getting rid of the corruption. That is why I want Trump.
you're also getting your family involved in. Just like Biden's son. Look how involved he got. How all the different payoffs he got with Burisma.
Well, that's actually a brilliant scheme, because that is just exactly what, what's his name, Poplinski, is that his name?
Poplinski.
And he came out and he goes, he asked him, he asked Biden and his son, aren't you afraid this could hurt your chances in the next election? And he goes, no, plausible deniability. Because first of all, on the Democratic side, the media is never going to go after you and investigate it. This guy came out with proof. There's a laptop. There's information that would burn anybody in the world. They won't even talk about the story.
Proof with the Clinton Foundation? I mean, that hasn't been litigated. I mean, they're still walking around. That was a great corruption scheme. Let me put this great charity, and we'll call it the Clinton Foundation. And all the people giving them graft were given graft through the Clinton Foundation under the premise it's charity, and Hillary, and
it was really influence to get to Hillary, because they figured she was going to be the president. When she didn't make it, the foundation dried up.
And there's the answer to your question. All these career politicians are peddling influence. It starts right here at the local government level. If you want a big garage in your backyard, you can get it if you donate to the right political party in the town. You can get whatever you want, and that goes all the way to our federal government. All these congressmen, all these senators, for the most part, are peddling influence.
So, Bill, take that point, and let's say this: we know the reelection rate for an incumbent in every position is well over 75%. If you're an incumbent, you get reelected, right? Because you have the vehicle, you have the committees together, you have the influence, you're connected to all these different groups by way of this money, and they keep pumping money to you. How come, though, when the American people say Congress has an 8% approval rating, does everyone turn around and say, yeah, but not my guy. My guy's good, and I'll vote for him. And if everybody says that, that's how they get in time and time again. Is this our problem as a people? Why we can't just vote for somebody else?
You got to look at the voter base. You look at the voter base and see
the people that are in there.
That type of people.
What their interests are. What the interests for those people are.
Correct. And what do you see? I'm going to vote, but what's this guy for? Where does he stand? And then you let him know where you're going to stand, where you want him to stand.
And he tells you he's going to do that.
And he tells you, and 9 times out of 10, it never happens anyway.
Well, that's what we were just saying. How many times did the Republican tell us, give us the Congress? We gave it to him. Nothing.
Well,
Senate, President, nothing. All right. But we vote for him again anyway.
This is why term limits are so important.
Yeah. Term limits.
Yes. I believe that. Pelosi, look how long she's been there. Look how long Schumer's been there. And what real good and positive things have they done other than influence media, influence the
they've enriched themselves is what they've done. They've enriched themselves.
They have.
So
they really
term
have.
Limits. So I would say if for some reason Trump wins this election, and we're at different opinions here at this table, and we'll talk about that in a minute, that whether or not if he wins and he takes the Congress and he takes the Senate and we have all these people there together now that are saying, you know, term limits is probably a great idea. Do you think any of those Republicans that would control those two houses would go, let's do a term limits bill and the president will sign it? You think they would actually do it, or they would all start to pontificate, well, it's not really right. I could really do good.
I think there's some that will do it. The Jim Jordans of the world. Probably Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
These people, to me, have character and they're good people. They want what's best for the country, but I think most of Congress, Republican and Democrat, will not do it.
What's upsetting is when Obamacare came around, they passed it, but they don't have to use it.
Right.
And they should be held to their, they should be held to the, their
they
feet to the
to,
fire.
They should have to exempt themselves from the sexual harassment laws that everyone else has to follow. They exempt themselves from Obamacare. I actually went to a meeting when Obamacare was coming around, and who was it? Congressman Pallone from Monmouth County, New Jersey, was here. And my wife and I were there with some friends, and we're waiting in line to ask questions. And I actually got the last question, and I said, let me ask you a question. You don't have to take this Obamacare. Will you pledge right now that everybody in Congress will have the same health care you want to give us? Well, you have to understand, the House is a unique individual place, and this policy is going to lead to every... Never answered the question. They won't take it. What's good enough for you, shut up, is good enough for you, and the rest of us, we'll do what we do, because they're the elite. They are the Senate, the Roman Senate, right? And how do we fix this? Well, so let's do a lightning round. Let me ask you, Jack. Term limits. House of Representatives, Senate, and President. What would they be if you could wave a wand? Boom.
How long? Same as the president is now. Two terms, and you're out.
So 12 years for a senator, 4 years for a congressman, and 8 years for a president.
Yes.
I'm going to agree with that one. That's the one I was thinking. Bill?
I'm agreeing with that one as well.
Excellent.
And as long as they also have to abide by the same policies that they pass.
That they put in place.
Okay. Jim, how about you?
I don't mind it, but I would go 8 years for both Senate, and we'd have to change the Constitution, which would...
Right.
For Senate and Congress, because I think 12 years is too long.
12 years is too long. And why do you think that? I mean, when we look at that, obviously, until FDR was president, there was no term limit on the president. The fact that he was elected four times.
Yes.
The Republicans and the people in Congress started to see, now you have a not a dictator at the time, but you have somebody who's been the president for 16 years. He's constantly the president. Probably was impeding on their power, because he's there that long, that they changed that. And we changed it with an amendment that the president can only have two terms. Interesting. I like the idea of two, 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 and two, because then it's even. You could run for two terms in Congress, 4 years, and then run for senator job and be a senator, right? Then maybe you run for the president, but you can't stay in the same job, because familiarity breeds contempt. And when you're there that long, you have all that influence. People are going to come to you with money. This is just like we're seeing with Joe Biden. We're seeing with all of these politicians. You know, how is it you make 170, and this was on one of the shows where I didn't have you fellas with me. If I did the math and I said Biden is in Congress for 40 years. Right now his salary is $175,000 a year. It wasn't always that. 40 years ago he was making $50,000. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's say every year he gets $200,000. Every 10 years that's $2 million. In 20 years, that's $4 million, $6 million, and in 40 years, that's $8 million. How does he live in multiple million-dollar mansions and live the lifestyle him and his family live on $8 million over 40 years? If you broke that down, you'd say a guy making $50,000 a year for 40 years can't live in a $20 million mansion and have a beach house in three different states, but he could probably have a $2 million mansion and one beach house down in Florida. Wouldn't that make perfect sense if everything was on the up and up?
No, but they'll...
Not on the up and up. That's...
But they'll tell you that they're making that money from book sales, from speech sales, from TV commercials, from live appearances and things such as this, and it's just not true.
All right, so Jim, I was asking before, and I wanted to see this. Do you think there is something to this, and I know in 2016 there was, to the shy Trump voter? People Absolutely. That wouldn't come out and say to the pollsters or anybody else, do you think there's that many of them this time around, as there were last time, that would push him over the top?
Yes, I think Trump is going to win big.
Big. Now, when you say big, what do you mean big?
I think he's going to have a better electoral college count than he did in 2016.
Better than 306 votes.
Yeah.
If you look at the polls, Biden is leading in every single poll. And I believe...
Every
poll. I believe with all my heart that these silent,
shy
Trump voters are going to come out in force. They just don't want their houses spray painted, as Jimmy said.
Have they already voted? Because there's early voting in all those states where you're expecting these millions of people to come out of nowhere. Have they voted?
However, where are... When you find 5,000 ballots sitting in a ditch in Pennsylvania, and you find 100,000 voters more than their population in that state,
right?
How can you trust the mail-in ballots?
How are we going to deal with that on November 4th.
That's going to be such a controversy. When we wake up and
say, how is it possible that Michigan had 200,000 more votes than they have people?
Yeah.
Do we then say, well, Michigan's vote doesn't count, it has to be a do-over? Are we going to actually do that, or are they going to say, no, we have to accept it, and we'll figure it out for the next time, so they get away with the fraud? Is that what's going to happen, Jack?
Well, listen, I'm going to go off on a different tangent here. I'm going to tell you that along with just about everything else in our personal lives, our business lives, the election should have been put off until next year when we could go to the polls. I know it's against the Constitution. I know it may be illegal on many, many different levels. I know that the liberals would freak out if we had one more year of Trump, but everything else has been put away. It's okay for me to go to my local motor vehicle office and stand in line with 100 people, but it's not okay for me to go to the polls and vote.
None of that makes any sense, and I have to tell you, your point is very well taken. But as the host, I'm personally offended. I asked you a question, you decided to go in a different direction. I thought we talked about that early on in the neighborhood, that when we're doing serious radio and I ask a question, you have to answer my question, so I'm going to turn to another member of the crew. Jim, let me ask you that
question.
What
was your question? I
don't remember my question now. That's the problem.
Please don't hurt me, Joe.
I'm so interested in Jack's point that he was making. I think my point was, what do we do when we discover there was all this fraud? Say we find out by December 22nd there was enough fraud in enough states that the election should be different. Are we going to go, the election don't count, do it again?
It's going to be buried by the media.
No, it's going to be, this is their plan. When Trump wins, and I implore all of you to read Cardinal Vigano's letter, open letter to President Trump, he lays out deep state's plan. If Trump wins, they call a nuclear option, and they're going to burn down cities. There's a whole crew, the Soros-backed crowd.
Right.
They're going to be into the cities. They're going to be torching the places. They're
going to
be
there's actually reports.
Christians.
There was reports that came out the other day that they found these cables between these left-wing groups that are saying, no matter how it looks on election night, as it starts to get closer to midnight, go out and start the violence. Go out and start burning, start looting, start destroying.
To create the doubt. And the doubt is, even if Trump wins big, they're going to say it's fraud.
Right.
I think that's exactly what's going to happen. He is going to win by a landslide because of all these sympathetic Trump voters that are not participating in any of the polls, and he's going to win so big that they're not going to be able to question it.
If he wins that big, they can't question it. The problem is what I've heard other people, other talkers talk about, say, it's going to come in like this because of all this paper balloting and all this nonsense voting that we're doing here that's not right. We've all seen the fraud. They're going to say, even if it looks like Trump is winning and winning big on election night, they're not going to call it because they have to count those votes. And we're not going to know for a week, 2 days, 10 days, a month. And guess what? Truckloads of Biden ballots were found here and in Pennsylvania. And the court, even the Supreme Court, we can't count on them. They said, Pennsylvania, you don't have to match the signatures on the ballot to the voting record.
John Roberts.
You don't have to.
Yep. They have something on John Roberts. This guy is a sleeper. There's something wrong with that guy. I mean, I agree. Vote according to the law. That's your job on the Supreme Court. He's legislating from the bench.
Yes.
He's a conservative. There's something wrong with him.
Which is one of the reasons they don't like Amy Coney Barrett. Mm. Congratulations, Justice Barrett, is that she has come out and said, it's not my job to make law. I look in something. There's only two things that should come out of their mouth. This law is constitutional or this law is not constitutional.
Exactly.
They shouldn't go, it's not constitutional, but we came up with these 9 things that we're going to make the law, and now it is constitutional. That's not their job. That is a super legislature that you and I can't vote them out. We don't like what they did. That's the only two things that should come down. The law is constitutional as written. Good luck, fellas and ladies. Or it is not constitutional. Try again. It's no good.
I don't like the law, but that's the Constitution and that's the law.
And with the words of Jim Giordano, I think we're absolutely right. We'll be back in a minute with round 3 here in a fiery election special on Chasing Justice.
My fellow Americans, you've watched for decades as radical Marxists have systematically taken over some of our nation's most cherished institutions. Well, AmericaOutloud.com is fighting back with one of the fastest growing conservative media networks in the world, featuring some of the nation's most influential experts and commentators. Join us. We're in this together, and we consider you part of our family in our crusade to share the news, commentary, and agenda that can lead America back again. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Chasing Justice here in round three. As I say, all right. Matthew McConaughey, thank you. All right, listen, the future. So we've talked about the past, we've talked about what's going on now, and we know there's a major election going on out there in America. The day after, we don't know whether or not we will have a result. So I'm going to ask that as a lightning round. Will we or will we not know who the president is on the morning of November 4th? Jim?
We probably won't, unfortunately.
Okay. Bill?
Yeah, no, not at all.
Jack?
I think we're going to see huge controversy and no decision.
No decision. Okay, I'm going to say that I can't imagine that unless it is so overwhelming. Everybody keeps saying, all you Trump guys that's saying there's all this vote, it's going to be a landslide. A landslide means there's no question about it. It's not, boy, it came in really. A landslide means, you know what? We had 17 million Biden write-in votes, but Trump got 99 million votes. There's no way you can overcome that. Unless we have that, I don't know that we see this the next day. How long, Jim, do you think till we actually hear that there's going to be someone who won?
6 days, 5 days.
6 or 5 days. Bill?
I say after the first of the year.
After the first of the year.
Yep.
You know how far along that pushes us down the road?
Yep.
For controversy?
I do.
Wow.
But there's going to be so many disruptions that's going to cause the delay of the counting and so much mistakes in mm-hmm. counting.
Sure. Hanging chads and the like.
The thing is, yeah, Chad, that thing.
Right. Jack, where do you stand?
I honestly believe it's going to go past the beginning of the year. I think there's going to be a lot of trouble. There's going to be a lot of controversy. There's going to be a lot of cities burning. There's going to be a lot of violence in the streets over this. I personally do not think Trump's going to win. I think Biden's a lock.
You really do?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so I think we had a friendly wager going on here in Chasing Justice. Let me tell you what I think, first of all, and then we'll talk about that wager between some of the boys here. I think we will know within 2 weeks. I think there will become an answer. I think there will be some court cases, and I think the court will have to jump in and quickly make some decisions. But I'm going to say 2 weeks. Jim, you say a week. Bill, you say the first. And you think after the first also. So you want to remind me, and I'll let you bring the topic up, Jack, because this way you can cut me off again. Are you talking about revolution in the street if it goes to the first and it's not what we think? But I want to jump in and Jim, do you think that if a week goes by and there's this violence and thing that we're talking about, how is America going to survive that?
America will survive. This is preordained. Trump is what's needed in this country at this time, with his rhetoric on Twitter or not. God will not let this country go down.
So
if this country goes down, the world goes down.
You have a faithful
answer. Darkness. It really goes into darkness.
Bill, you're the man of faith. Do you think God's going to intervene here, and that's the right thing for America to have? You know,
I think he's already intervened. I think he's allowing. He doesn't cause it. I think he's allowing all of this to be happening so that we can see what to expect when the end times come.
When the end times come. So we have two men of faith here now talking about God's intervention. Jack, are you a God man or are you a godless heathen? And how do you stand on whether or not God will jump in here and help America?
I can't disagree with their opinions wholeheartedly, but I happen to think that he's going to stand back and let this happen. I think it's a test, and I think it's a test that we have to pass. without his intervention, without his hand, without his guidance. We can pray for it, we can ask for it, but we're not praying for it or asking for it enough as a unit, as a country, as a people.
Hear, hear.
You know, now you're talking about something that Miss Kathy has talked about. Could God let this happen as a chastisement to people for the life that we've decided to live now? Instead of being a godly people, we are an ungodly people. We're kicking God out of everything. Nobody holds to the faith. We see that the church is shut down in this pandemic. You can go and riot, but you can't go to church. All of this stuff. So maybe we might see that. Here's my take on this here. There are little babies with cancer that suffer and die. Why doesn't God reach down there and just heal that child? Give that cancer to a rotten person who does horrible things, to a serial killer. Give them the cancer. Why give a little baby suffering in a hospital and then ultimately dying and destroying the lives of the family around them with their grief? Why would a God allow that to happen? And I'll tell you, I'm a man of faith. I go to church. I believe it. I think it could be just like that. God stands back and says, I've given you the choice to make choices and to do things and to be faithful. And here's how it's going to go, however you people decide it's going to go, is how it's going to go. And then see how you deal with it.
He gave us free will.
That's what I'm talking
about.
He
gave us the ability to live our own lives, and we can do that within him or without him.
Outstanding, Jack.
We have to suffer the consequences of our decisions.
Because we have free will.
That's interesting. So, Bill, do you think, and here's one thing I want. I was trying to find a way to say this. You know, if you go to Twitter, you can reach out to us here. All of us in the neighborhood will get it. At Pangaro Global. At Pangaro Global. We'd like to hear your comments. Follow us out there because, you know, I'm being shadow banned. I get 8 or 10 followers every single day there, and I go down by 2. I don't go up. I go down by 2 no matter how many. You see that thing? 11 people followed you today, and I go down by 2. It's shadow banning because there's a lot of conservative stuff on there. But the reality is when we look at this, are we going to see these people? How do I say this? Whoever you vote for, no matter, I don't care who you vote for, you got to go vote. That's your constitutional responsibility. Go vote. But if you vote for the left, if you vote for socialism, if you vote for those kind of things, tax increases and regulation, if you vote for that, you think that's right for our country, you own what's about to happen. You own every bit of it.
Yeah, but don't throw it on me. I don't want tyranny.
Oh, I don't want it either.
This is an election about tyranny.
It absolutely
is. Plain and simple. It's not socialism. It's the worst form of socialism.
Mm-hmm. Isn't this the first step down that slippery slope to loss of this democratic republic that we've had for all these years? Did you guys ever think that you would be part of the generation that's going to vote America away, potentially?
No.
You think it's going to happen, Jack?
I do.
You think it's going to happen?
I do.
This is the precipice. This is the end of America.
I think this is the beginning of the end. Let's not go off the deep end. I believe what's going to happen after this election occurs is we're going to run into a position where Trump is not going to voluntarily give up the White House. He's not going to voluntarily admit that he's been beaten. He's going to have his people out there. He's going to try and prove the conspiracy. He's going to try and prove, as what we were discussing earlier, about the throwing away of his ballots. That's already been proven on a small scale. I think he's going to come out. He's not going to release control of the White House. And I think he's going to try and prove
hundreds of thousands
of ballots have been done away with.
Hasn't he already said, though, that he will not contest the outcome?
If it's a fair election. And that's where everybody's hanging on his word. Well, who's to determine if it's a fair election? If he says it's not a fair election, he does what you're saying, Jack. Now, Biden will have been certified as the winner. But Trump says, I'm not leaving. On the 21st, don't they swear him in on the House of Congress, and then he sends the military in to literally drag him out of there?
But he can stand there and he can say, I won't contest this election. If Biden is elected, I will step down. He can say that all he wants, but he has an army of people behind him who will not let that happen.
Now, an army of people.
Huge army.
How is an army of people, and this is what I'm talking about for the future. Does this mean this is many foretold next civil war in America? I'm telling you right now, I agree. If Biden wins legitimately, I think Trump will leave. He'll say, you know what? I lost legitimately and I'm out. I think he will. If he is beaten because there is fraud and there's fakery and the deep state just says, that's it, you got to go, I think those hordes of people may turn out in the streets. Now, here's the question. We're all reasonable men here. We're family men. We have careers. We have jobs. Jim, you taking a rifle and going out in the street? And you're going to fight for this democracy? Or are you going to be like, well, I don't want to go that far? Because there's people out there that'll burn your city down and kill you. And you're going to just go, well, I'm not going to stand for it. Are you actually going to fight for this freedom?
I don't know, Joe. It's the last thing I'd ever want to do. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, I am prepared to die for this country, for the old country, for that country which I grew up in.
Powerful words, Jim. How about you, Bill? You're a military guy. You going to take arms and go in the street and fight the liberals that are stealing your country for you?
I am not going to go out into the street. I will protect what is mine.
So you'll make the country a bill, and you'll protect that.
What if they come knocking on your door?
No, they come knocking on my door. They're going to lose a hand.
When they said there's a detention camp.
No,
you had a Trump sign.
Well, now you're changing the question.
He's a contrarian, of course.
No, what if that happens?
If that happens, then I'm going to go and I'm going to defend myself, and I'm going to.
And that's put it. That's
whatever.
A good way to put it. That's a good way to put it. Jack, how about you?
Well, let me change this up for one second. Let me change this up.
Is that all right this time?
Okay.
You did it properly that time.
When Biden does win this election.
Actually, the better way would be, excuse me, oh gracious host, may I please take the show on a different track than you've made in your notes here and briefed us about for a half an hour before we started. That's probably the better way, but I liked what you did.
We're not going there.
Okay.
When Biden does win this election.
He's the contrarian.
I honestly believe that Joe Biden, as a human being, is going to go on television. Nationwide, of course, on every channel that'll have him. And he's going to be calling for peace and calm and coming together of America. I think he's going to call for that because now he's going to be the president and he wants to rule, and I'm going to use the word rule, he wants to rule this country as president, as a whole country. Whether he has our best interests in mind or not, I don't honestly believe that he does. I don't honestly believe that Kamala Harris has our best interest at heart. I believe she's a Green New Dealer that's going to destroy this nation. But I do believe that he's going to call for peace. I do not believe that it's going to be the next civil war. Is there going to be unrest? Absolutely, there's going to be unrest no matter which candidate wins or supposedly wins this election.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. Let me ask you a question. Do you honestly believe that Biden is physically, mentally able to lead this country in a positive, good direction and do some of the things that Trump has done?
Interesting, Bill. Let me follow up on that with you. How long, if Joe Biden wins, how long will he actually be the president? Before he is usurped by Kamala Harris and the left.
That's where I was going.
Jim, you think a year?
Yeah.
1 year. Is that what that 25th Amendment thing that they're trying to put together is all about? Because Pelosi said it's not about Trump. It's about future presidents. They're asking how do we get rid of that president with the vice president leading the way, which would be who?
Kamala
Harris. So, Bill, how long do you think Biden will be president if he is elected before they throw him out? Before the left throws him out?
Well, Kamala Harris is going to be pushed by the mob, and Bernie, and they're going to get antsy. The longer it takes, they're going to get more and more antsy, and they're going to be pushing and pushing.
Okay. Jack, how long do you think he'll be president?
The point is moot right now. He's a puppet.
Yes, you're right.
And here's my answer. I think he will stay there for as long as they need him to stay there.
He's a figurehead.
If they want him to be the figurehead, because I think the eyes would be opened of a lot of people, even on the left, if they saw this usurpation of this guy come in and go, you know what, you just sit there and drool on yourself, Uncle Joe, and we're calling all the shots. I think a lot of people would say, wait a minute, that's not what we voted for, and I think that might turn the tide.
Many people will vote for Biden because he represents normalcy. They think that he's going to bring back the way things were, and that's what they're going to vote on. That premise.
Right. Well, this is what we were talking about a couple weeks ago. I read some articles out there, and I heard a couple people. Is that when people are looking at this, the undecided? I wrote an article. You go look to AmericaOutloud.com. Go up on a platform. You can see my articles there. And this one was about the undecided voter. How could there still be undecided voters 2-3 weeks out from an election like this when we've known this for years? What's going on here? And what I've heard, the feedback has been this entire group of people that are undecided, that may still be cited right now, are deciding on not the policies of the person, not their skill, not their ability, but on how they feel. And if they feel like this will bring us back to civility and no more burning and everyone's just getting along, that's what they're going to vote for. Mm-hmm. And it's those people, that 8% in the middle, that's going to swing this election one way or another. And that's the scary part.
That's it.
Jim, you look like you're defeated here. What are you thinking?
No, because I don't like what you're saying, but it's probably because there's truth behind it. There are a lot of voters, and as Bill said, they want to go back to the old America, and they don't realize what's at stake here. But it's the old America. Mm-hmm. If Biden gets in, that old America is gone, and they don't see it. They see the rancor, and the reason why there's divisiveness in this country is because some of us do see it. We see Marxism and tyranny on one side, and we see Donald Trump protecting us from that on the other. And when Biden gets in, when that tyranny gets thrown at us, we're going to say, I told you so, but there's going to be a lot of Biden voters who will say, oh, I never thought.
Right, and this is where I'm trying to figure a way to say this, that if you vote for Joe Biden and everything he's promising, taxes, regulation, taking away your guns, a Green New Deal, if you vote for that, you own that when your gasoline goes to $7 a gallon, when your heating oil is $1,000 to fill your tank every couple of months, when they come to you and say, listen, semi-automatic weapons are no longer legal, and if you are found in possession of one, you will be arrested. You can have a shotgun and a revolver. Maybe they'll let you have that. When that starts to happen, are people going to say, wait a minute, that's not what we voted. We wanted niceness. We wanted when their taxes go up. Because they're saying, I'm not going to tax anyone who makes less than $400,000. But he says, I'm going to take away the Trump tax cuts, which means all these businesses are going to dry up. There goes your job. You own that. There goes the regulations that were stifling to business. You own that. There goes all these jobs running out of this country. Go back to that cheap later. You own that.
You take the Communist Party line or you're in the gulag. That's how bad it's going
to
get.
Well, when you said that, they're actually planning. When you said you had a Trump sign, you have to go to this camp. They're talking about, I forget what they call it, reunification.
Re-education.
Well, it's a re-education camp, but they had a name for it. It sounded nicer where you can apologize for supporting Trump, and you can apologize for taking our country this way for 4 years. They're actually considering doing this.
Exactly what happened in Soviet Union, exactly what happened in Cambodia, the Khmer Rouge.
Khmer Rouge.
I mean,
and why is that? Because that is the road of socialism. That's why. Yeah.
It's not socialism. You can read the playbook. We're already a socialist country.
You can read the playbook. This is nothing new. That's why we're not surprised, because we all know about this. But I don't think a lot of our fellow Americans really believe it. There's no way they would do that.
They haven't been taught that. They haven't been taught any of this history. They've been taught that America's bad.
The sentiment is nothing's going to change. It doesn't matter who the president is.
Oh, I hear that too.
They are ill-informed. That's what they are. They're not educated to the system that are going to be put in place.
They're ripe for the picking.
No matter what we say here tonight, fellas, our country is going to change one way or another. One way or another. And I think you guys, quickly, you're going to have a bet on who wins?
I want my $10.
What? So you're taking Biden, Jack?
I got Biden.
And you got Trump?
Yes.
Okay. And you're giving him 10 to 1 odds.
I'm giving him 10 to 1.
10 to 1 odds. So listen, go out and vote. It's your duty as an American to vote. Think about your future and your children's future. Where do you want them to be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now, your grandchildren? What do you want to see in America? And I think this election poses two different things. I'm going to play off of Ronald Reagan's statement. The sun will either rise or set on America with this election. This is Lieutenant Joe Pangaro for Chasing Justice. Thanks for being with me and the fellows from the neighborhood. We'll be back soon. Remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. God bless America.
Amen.